Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Moat Marine Laboratory's Aquaculture Park in Sarasota is home to an aquaponics greenhouse that's growing a sea vegetable you may have never heard of. The system recycles 100% of its water through the plants and the fish that live within it. Joining us now is senior scientist and program manager at Moat Marine Laboratory, Dr. Kevin Main, who developed and maintains the aquaponics greenhouse. Dr. Main, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
And if you would like to add your voice to our discussion or ask a question, just give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Main, let's start with sea purslane. We've been saying it around the building between us because none of us had really ever heard of it. How did it come across your radar?
Well, I was doing some work a couple of years ago where I was growing wetland plants in conjunction with marine fish production in order to utilize them to clean up the water systems. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a natural way to remove high nutrients out of water, providing fertilizer for plants. And so one of the plants that I was testing was a coastal wetland plant called sea purslane. And I discovered in my research that that vegetable was in fact a commonly consumed vegetable in the Caribbean islands as well as by Native American Indians back in the early days in Florida. And so I had been looking for what kind of vegetables could we grow in salt water, because I have been developing and working on these sustainable systems. And when I discovered this particular one and looked into it further, I found it was a very nutritious, high-quality vegetable that we could potentially market. And so that's what got me started working on it.
Huh. What does it taste like, or you know, what would it be comparable to for somebody who's never tried it?
Okay, well, I can tell you that sea purslane is in the same family as spinach. So it is, it can be used in applications, cooking applications or fresh applications, just like spinach can. But I don't think it really tastes like spinach. It has a milder flavor. And, of course, because I am growing it in a saltwater environment, it's got a slightly salty flavor to it, too. So it's kind of your, you get two things combined together. You've already got your salt added to your dish, plus you've got this nutritious vegetable. So it's a just think of something like spinach, but with a milder flavor.
Hmm. Is this something that beachgoers would see and go, oh, I've seen that before? I mean, is it common enough that it's out there without us realizing it's right in front of us?
They may have seen it. You know, it is a low-growing plant, so it's a ground cover type plant. It also, there are varieties that are freshwater adapted, and so those are commonly seen in Home Depot, and you can purchase them there. But that's really a different variety and also different characteristics. So they may have seen them, but the thing about the ones on the beaches is that they are really, they're carrying out a very important role. They're helping to stabilize our sand dunes and our substrate there. So it's far better to be farming that product than to be harvesting it off the coastal beaches.
Gotcha. You know, I think by now people are fairly familiar with the idea of aquaponics in freshwater, that is, where, you know, you've got fish that are creating waste, that's creating nutrients for plants. This saltwater aquaponics setup that you're doing is something that I think is new to me. Is that something that's not common? Is this new territory? Or is it just something that, you know, you don't really do at home, but maybe you do in a place like Moat?
Well, it is not common yet.
Okay.
You know, my goal is to develop this technology and to help spur the increased production of marine fishes here in Florida to provide local fish to our local markets. So that's my overall goal that got me moving towards looking at marine aquaponics, because we live in Florida and
right.
We have people that are coming here every day, going to restaurants and wanting to enjoy marine fishes, saltwater fishes, and so a wonderful marine fish produced in conjunction with the vegetables can be a way to get that product produced in a sustainably farmed method. And so that's what led us in this direction. But it is not common. I only know of a couple of other examples of people that are looking at this in saltwater environments, and it's kind of the new wave in expansion of aquaponics into new types of systems.
Okay, good. I thought maybe I had just somehow missed out on something, but I'm glad to hear it is fairly novel. I have some friends that do aquaponics in their backyards on a fairly small scale, but, you know, not just a small tank. Is this something that could be replicated on a smaller scale, or because of the saltwater nature or the marine nature, it's going to have to be a bigger system just because?
No, I think it could be done on a small scale. I don't see any reason why not. My system that I've been developing here at Moat is a little different than traditional aquaponics systems because we have been focused on trying to increase the fish that are being produced out of these types of systems. Because if you're familiar with freshwater aquaponics, you probably know that they may have one small tank of fish and many, up to, you know, several acres of freshwater vegetables that they're producing from that fish production. In our system, we do have more filtration included in there because we want to make our system more fish-centric rather than vegetable-centric. And so so our particular system is a little bit more complex than a traditional backyard type of aquaponics system, but there's really no reason why it couldn't be developed along the same scale. It's just a matter of getting access to the fish to be stocked into that system. That might be a little more challenging because we don't have a lot of marine fish hatcheries yet up and running in Florida.
Right. So real quick then, why did you pick redfish or red drum as the fish for this system? Is there something about them in particular, or could you have picked, you know, any of a number of marine fish?
You know, I picked redfish because redfish are a really hardy fish for farming. And what you want to do when you're trying to spur on the development of production in a particular area is you got to start with something that is going to be a little, it's easy to adapt, that people can grow and not have a lot of failures with, because there's nothing more frustrating than trying to grow the fish and having losses associated with it. So when I looked at what species could I produce in our system, I came up with redfish because they are something that is a known product in Florida. I mean, people are familiar with it. They go fishing for it. Mm-hmm. They have heard of it before, so it's a pretty well-known product. But also that hardy characteristic. It's kind of like the most common freshwater aquaponics fish is tilapia, an extremely hardy freshwater fish. So I wanted to pick a analogous species for the marine applications. But there's no reason why, as we continue to improve on that technology, it couldn't be pompano or another marine fish. Again, the key, though, is how will you access the fingerlings to go into that production system.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems like you guys probably have a better line on that than most people out in the world would.
Yes, we do, because you know, we run a big reproduction facility here.
Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left, but real quickly, cookbook, a sea purslane cookbook. I understand it's either out or soon to be out. Is that something that have you ever done a cookbook before?
No, I have not ever done one before, but it is soon to be published. It is in the very final stages of proofreading, and the reason that I decided to do that is because, just like you, people haven't heard of this product before. They aren't sure how you would use it, and when I was doing some background work on what the options were for how to prepare it, I found that there's close to 60 recipes that I was able to identify either that chefs had come up with for my sea purslane or that were available through the internet. And so we worked on compiling all those recipes together, testing them out, and putting them together in our cookbook.
Well, cool. Well, that is all the time we have for the show today. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Kevin Main, is a senior scientist and program manager at Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota. Thank you for sharing this this interesting sort of bit of science and culinary arts with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be on.
If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.